Welcome to the 2018 Homelessness Marathon special broadcast at CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio, broadcasting on unceded Gidimdan territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. We are excited to be your hosts today here in Smithers, British Columbia. I'm Liliana Dragoska.
And I'm Dawn Hansen. The purpose of the Homelessness Marathon is to move towards more equitable media and make the microphone available to community members. Stations across Canada broadcast from spaces accessible to those who deal with homelessness. Today's program, we bring you song, interviews, and conversations from the community of Smithers.
My name is Desiree Nizal, and I've been part of the homelessness for quite a few years. I've experienced it for quite a few years, actually, and I've been staying at shelters and women's shelter and basically just couch surfing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard, but I'm glad that we have, like, the help that we need. Like, the shelter mm-hmm. provides food and clothing and mm-hmm. services for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've stayed there off and on. Like, sometimes I lose my bed because I haven't gone there for a couple days, but... Mm-hmm. I get it back and I stay there. I've actually been staying with my boyfriend right now and is at his mom's, helping out with rent and stuff. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. being homeless for me kind of really opened up my eyes, and like staying on the streets all the time and mm-hmm. learning the street smarts and basically surviving, doing the best. And there's like, there's a whole bunch of us that, like, we all have experienced this, and we're all in it together, like mm-hmm. a little family, kind of.
Yeah.
So we all know what each and every one of us has gone through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we all help each other out when we can.
Yeah.
The shelter is a really big help, and here at PLN, they're a really big help because they serve lunch
mm-hmm.
Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and then Sally Ann has Wednesdays and Fridays. So there's basically lunch every day for people. Even on the weekends, we got the soup kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
There's a soup kitchen behind Safeway there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is behind Tim Hortons at that church.
Yeah.
Was the old Christian school.
That's right. Yeah.
So you can never go hungry.
That's good.
Yeah. It's very good. The community is slowly realizing, though, like the homelessness and poverty is a big thing in the city.
Don't know how it started. All I did was party, and school was only a part of feeling so retarded. His useless is garbage, like my father told me. Mama's out on another bender, I'm so lonely. I promised myself I would never feel like this again. Daddy's beating mommy and I'm cutting my wrist again. I really wanted to lead my life a different way. I dreamt of having a big house and a yard where my kids can play. But in reality I'm sleeping in a bush with only one blanket. It's harder than it looks. You think because I'm a drunk I don't feel pain? Because of this belief I must not get wet when it rains. I put myself here, but did I really have a choice? I had a home, a wife and kids and a powerful voice. But now you can't hear me or see me on the sidewalk. Sir, help me please, you can't hear when I talk of hopelessness. When they don't know about homelessness. If I'm just a drunk who doesn't know my kids, then how can I quit the drugs? They always talk of hopelessness. When they don't know about homeless kids, wishing daddy had a home to live. To these I send my love. To numb the pain I drank alcohol daily. Stress at home, stress at work, the alcohol never failed me. I did this for years and never had a problem with it until I couldn't live without it. Now I'm falling with it. I should have known most of my family's drug and alcohol addicted. Started missing work, the boss gave me warnings. I woke up sick, shaking and puking every morning. I had to have it, why? Just to calm the nerves. I'm trying to be the husband I know my wife deserves. I'm trying to be a father, my kids should come first. After a blackout raid, she took the kids and left. Now I have every right to drink myself to death. Boss man had enough, he had to let me go. If there's a reason to live, Lord, please let me know. It's not too long before I'm out in the street, thank God there's lots of places to get something to eat. They always talk of hopelessness when they don't know about homelessness. If I'm just a drunk who doesn't know my kids, then how can I quit the drugs? They always talk of hopelessness when they don't know about homeless kids. Wishing daddy had a home to live. To these I send my love. For liquor I'm forced to lie, cheat and steal. I learned the ropes, I could usually score a meal. You don't even know me, all you see is a beggar and a thief. I've been taking prescription, thinking it's better for my grief. I misuse, abuse, drink and smoke. What a hollow life, being homeless and broke. I black out often and rage even in public. I frequent the drunk tanks, maybe I'm lovesick. I try to find where I get this much anger and hatred. Then I'm reminded of a school where teachers and priests rape kids. I blocked it up for so long I forgot for a minute. The self-hate, the shame, it's hard not to relive it. I wish I could pay them back for all the hurt. They look at me and say, why don't you get off your ass and work? I didn't want to be this, it happened too quick. I think I need Jesus, I'm actually sick. Later on in life, it's too late to make changes. I'm one of many, I can't tell you what my name is. They always talk of hopelessness when they don't know about homelessness. If I'm just a drunk who doesn't know my kids, then how can I quit the drugs? They always talk of hopelessness when they don't know about homeless kids. Wishing daddy had a home to live. To these I send my love.
We have a really nice community. Like, some people drop off stuff at the stage for the crew and stuff, and everybody that stays at the shelter drop off food and stuff and blankets and whatnot for them.
Yeah, because
they're out there all the time. I was a part of that group, and so I know how it is. I've experienced everything, and like, some of the people are kind of mean because they've been taking, like, it was a big thing. In the summertime, like, there was a big issue around the stage and people drinking and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And that was a really, really big issue. There was a feud on Facebook about it. Mm-hmm. So the mayor took into hand about where they could go instead of drinking at the stage, because the stage, Beauville Square, is public for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. So they do stuff in the summertime.
Yeah.
So they just find somewhere else to go. And yeah, that it was just the whole drinking, all the homeless, with quotes.
We're
all drunks.
Right. And so tell me more about why you put the quotes around.
Well, like, not the homeless, but, like, I mean the drunks. Because, like, there was a big discrimination on that because we're all Native Aboriginal. And so, like, it kind of stereotypical. What I feel is that, like, they're stereotyping us just because we're at the stage every day, and they're battling addictions, right? And that's what some people don't understand. So, like, what they were doing as well as in the poverty reduction is thinking of things that adults can do instead of just standing around drinking all day, right?
Yeah, other activities for people are wasted.
Yeah. And the reason why they have the addiction is because of being homeless. So it just, it kind of all escalates into one thing, and it kind of goes in a cycle, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, some people aren't understanding of that very well. So the reason why they have the addiction is because they can't find the warm, safe place to call home. And even if they did find a place, like, I don't know. I think they just need a special warm place in the wintertime. And yeah, I've been a part of that for quite some time myself, and it has affected me. Like, I haven't been able to find a place to call home because of discrimination from the landlords, not having a job or being on welfare, or being pegged as one of the junks on Main Street kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it affected me, not having a place to call home. It's kind of sad, so I feel for everybody that is in the same situation, or, like, even with their, why they have some of their addiction is because, like, some pain or past trauma or something as well.
Not having time or space to To deal with that. And
yeah, to deal with your problems and stuff. So it goes out to everybody that's around.
What do you think would improve the situation in this community?
More helping hands, because so far it's just the shelter and PLN and mental health that have been helping out with the homelessness. Well, mostly PLN, but like helping with the addictions and everything and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like PLN does a lot. Yeah. And Smithers Community Services helps out with the homelessness reduction as well.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, a bigger shelter would be great, like with more beds and stuff.
Hi, Liliana. I'm Catherine Olmsted. I'm the Executive Director of Smithers Community Services. So what that means basically is I'm the General Manager of the organization. And so I work with team leaders and the program managers sort of collaboratively with them so that they can run their programs.
Great. And how long have you been with this organization?
10 years. We have seen some changes, but a lot of things, you know, the same as small towns, a lot of things stay the same.
I'm Candace Crump. I'm the shelter manager at Broadway Place. I think 5 years now I've been there. And that's
just what we do.
Yeah, every day.
Great. What have you seen as some of the ongoing challenges over the last 10 and 5 years here in Smithers?
As it relates to homelessness? Initially there was no shelter in Smithers. Shelter's been there for, it's had different iterations over the last few years. For a while, we were sheltering people in local hotels. And about 10 years ago, the shelter came into being where it's located now on Broadway Avenue. And probably about 7 or 8 years ago, it became a 24-hour service. So that's evolved, and it's interesting because, you know, that sometimes there's dialogue in the community about the shelter and where it's located, and some people view it as being a problem, but at the time it was actually conceived, it was viewed as being the answer to some of the concerns that that people were facing who are living in the community. So it's been operating as a 24-hour fully staffed shelter for about 7 years, I'm going to say. And then in addition to that, we've been, Candace and I have kind of worked with a few different organizations, BC Housing being one of them, to develop a homelessness prevention worker program. And then we also marry that with funding from PGNATA, and that's sort of federal housing money. So we've got a program that works very hand in glove with the shelter and with other people in the community at large to help people find and secure affordable housing. And there's different, and to help people connect with supports and even embedded in those two funding envelopes is a little bit of money to help people maybe with some rent costs or things like that to help them stay housed. So that's been a beautiful little program that is really complements the work at the shelter. I think there's challenges, but I think, you know, one of the things that the shelter and the HPP have been able to do collectively is since that's come into being, I think we've housed about 420 folks, and
amazing.
I think 97% of those people have been able to maintain their housing. And interestingly, quite a large number, 130 maybe, Candace, have been children in that cohort. So
amazing for a community the size of ours, 5,000 people. It's
yes,
those are big numbers.
1%, right? You're looking at 1%. A piece that I think is a challenge is we do see people present at the shelter, mom with kids, maybe her son is too old to be able to access the services at the Passage House. So we have had over the years quite a few families who've had to use the shelter services, and so we've been able to take them in there and then work with the housing person to help them find places to live. But that was quite a large number of our clients, I think, in the last few years.
Yeah. And it's single moms and single dads, and just with a one-income family to find something affordable, and everybody still have enough to eat is always tricky when there's not a lot to rent anyways. So mm-hmm. the HPP program has really helped also people that are housed that find themselves in a really tough spot, mm-hmm. especially high utilities and stuff at certain times of year. It helps people maintain the housing they have too.
And sometimes it's really in simple ways, like helping people get a token to go do their laundry, at Wash the Works. Or I know when some of the different families have stayed at the shelter, the staff have made the kids lunches, and the school bus has actually picked them up outside the shelter. So it's quite, it provides a service to quite an array of people within the community that isn't always known, I guess, or evident to other people.
My name is Margaret Chenaz. I'm a First Nation. I'm from the Kispiaks. I'm a Frog Clan. I have four kids. They're all grown up, graduated, got jobs, most of them, mm-hmm. in a place of their own. Mm-hmm. So they've really never experienced being homeless. Mm-hmm. Compared to me, I was homeless for a year and a half, mm-hmm. and I've lived through poverty. And even though I was homeless, even though I was in poverty, I still help people out in the streets, give them food, mm-hmm. even sometimes give them clothes off my back, mm-hmm. so they don't get hungry or cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm working now, again.
Great.
But being homeless, it was pretty tough, because people look at you differently. They don't treat you like a normal person. They treat you like people. They treat you like you're living on the streets. Mm-hmm. When you live on the streets, they don't really pay attention to you and talk to you and say, hey, we can give you some advice or something. Mm-hmm. They just kind of turn you away. And
mm-hmm. What happened eventually for you so that you weren't homeless anymore?
Well, I was staying at the Broadway shelter, and this lady, Candace, came in. She knew me from the Broadway shelter. Mm-hmm. And she says, Margaret, we're going to get you a place. Mm-hmm. And I was living in a tent, I was living down the campsite. Mm-hmm. That was where my home was. Mm-hmm. And she told me, she says, Margaret, we're going to get you out of here. Mm-hmm. And then within probably after she seen me, I had a place in July. That's a real big thing. Mm-hmm. It's a judging.
Yeah.
Because when you're homeless, people just kind of,
Mm-hmm.
So even though when I was homeless, I would still say, look up and say hi and... Mm-hmm. Have a good day, and how was your day, and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with Taylor Bagratch, the mayor of the town of Smithers. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
So you were involved in this homelessness marathon last year, so I just thought we could start out.
I was just remembering that, actually, doing the interview at the train car and talking to the interviewer about where we were at when it came to addressing homelessness in Smithers. And I think at the time, actually, I was feeling fairly discouraged because it was an issue we'd been talking about for, at that point, for 5 years at least at town council. I know the community's been talking about it for a lot longer than that. And we had some sense of the kind of things that needed to happen, but we weren't seeing much progress in terms of partnerships with other levels of government. There was a group in the community called the Smithers Action Group Association, and they had really been advocating for a housing first approach, and they wanted to see the construction of some supportive housing. And it was that grassroots effort, I think, that really brought homelessness onto council's radar. And they managed to convince all of us on council that this was a priority for our community. And one of the big initiatives they did was a homeless count. I think that actually happened in about 2015. I remember it was a really cold November day, and there were about a dozen volunteers who spent the day walking around Smithers interviewing people about their housing situation. And the outcome of that was we identified about 20 people who were chronically homeless in our community, which for someone from a larger community might seem like a pretty modest number, but for our community, that's significant. And so now here we find ourselves in 2018, and I'm really delighted to say that there's been some huge progress made, and we're at an exciting time where with the change in the provincial government, there was a significant program announced called Rapid Response to Homelessness. It was announced as part of the first financial update, and the minister responsible for housing has allocated funding to build a supportive housing development here in Smithers. So we actually, just at our council meeting last night, we had a presentation by the company that's going to be building the apartment building. It's
exciting.
24 units. It's going on a parcel of property that the town owns right behind Town Hall. We've done the rezoning. And at this point, we're just looking forward to seeing shovels go in the ground in the spring.
I'm Catherine Olmsted. I'm the Executive Director of Smithers Community Services. So right now, as a lot of people have heard, the town and BC Housing are working on a rapid rehousing project. There's a very select target group within the mandate of this project. So they're single unit apartments, about 300 square feet. That would be about twice the size of this office, and targeted directly at people who are experiencing homelessness at the moment. So it wouldn't be like going and picking people out of where they're already living and moving them into this particular property. It's actually for working with people who are currently experiencing homelessness. The dialogue right now is that it would be 24 units, and part of the conversation that we've been having with BC Housing is if we're the operator, then we would move the shelter services into the same location. So we're looking at the logistics of that. One of the really good pieces of this is the staffing component is we're gonna have more staff than we have at the shelter. And there will be tenant support staff. So in addition to our housing outreach worker, we'll also have tenant support staff. And also the way the space is constructed, I think we can do some learning activities, have some appointments for tenants. There's a counseling room or like a small consultation room, and there's meeting spaces and things like that. So It's constructed in a way to help people, I guess, regain control of their own lives and be the masters in their own lives. But so we, our responsibility is to make sure that that's done in a safe way where people can still maintain their own dignity and be able to empower people to take control of their own lives and their own futures.
I'm Valerie Laub, and I've been in Smithers since November of 2003. I think it was a few years ago. But some of the monologues, the two I'm reading today, are taken from, they're people I talked to, and they're taken almost, the first one really is just what he had to say, just edited a bit to take out extraneous things and to make it a little more clear. The second one, I made up some of it because I didn't have all the information. So I sort of made up his history, his family history. But when I took it to him afterwards to make sure it was okay, he said it was pretty close, which is distressing because it was a fairly distressing history. But so, and then there were three others, one based on someone I talked to. There was a one that represented a woman at the shelter escaping an abusive relationship, and that one I made up totally, but it probably pretty close to a lot of people's story. And then a child, and again, I made that up.
And what was the inspiration behind these monologues?
Well, really wanting to bring awareness to homelessness in our community.
I look at some of these old guys and I think, you know, that could be me. I mean, it's gonna be me if I can't beat the alcohol. The drugs. I started when I was in middle school. I mean, mostly just hanging out with my friends. It was fun at first, no big deal. But then it got serious. I got kicked out of school when I was 16. I got a job, so suddenly I had money. I wasn't responsible with it, so that's when things got really bad. You know, physical addiction, my mind, me obsessed. I was supposed to go to college. I could have done it. But I couldn't get away from the alcohol. It was hard at home. I mean, both my parents went through residential school. It really messed up their lives. Now it's messing up mine. I'm 23. I've been trying to beat this thing since I was 19. That's when I made up my mind to quit. Been 4 years and I'm still struggling. I'm getting help now, a drug and alcohol counselor. And the people at the shelter are good, I mean, supportive. But you know, every time I go out of here, I'm surrounded by the same stuff. Drugs, drinking. I mean, I walk away, but it's hard. Usually I come back to the shelter. You can't drink or do drugs in here, so that helps. And the staff. Without a place to live, yeah. I don't know how long I can hold out. I'd like to go back to school, upgrade my education, get a decent job, get a home of my own. But I don't know. I got hurt pretty bad a while back. Had to have surgery, and I don't know what I'll be able to do. It's going to take a couple of years to heal. You hear people say, why don't these guys just sober up and get a job? But those people don't know where these guys have come from, what they've lived through. I'm 23 years old, and sometimes I think I'm ready to die. My older brother, he died from an overdose. And my sister, she got gang raped. Afterwards, she went back with a knife and stabbed one of the guys. Now she's in prison. It was always fighting and drinking and drugging at home. I mean, I don't blame my parents. After what they went through with residential school, it leaves you not knowing how to live. But the thing is, Even when I had a job and I had money, I mean, enough for rent, I could have got a place. There was nowhere to rent. There just isn't anywhere. And anything that does come up is really high rent. I was born here, and I can't afford to live here.
David and Louie go to midnight mass every Christmas Eve. They sit in the back and I wonder what they do believe. When you wake up in a cold place wondering who and where you are, it's hard to get excited about chasing some holy star. And the smell of incense and alcohol is creeping down the aisle, and the choir starts to sing. I think I'm gonna smile. Singing, oh, holy night, and Noel, Noel, and hark the herald angels sing. It's a warm place to be on a cold December night, and we'll see what tomorrow will bring. David and Louis hit the lobby just as soon as the mass is done, singing peace be with you and Merry Christmas and shaking hands with everyone. And the wind is blowing cold tonight and I'm warming up my car, and I watch him stagger down the road underneath some street lamp star. Singing, oh, holy night, and Noel, Noel, and hark the herald angels sing. It's a warm place to be on a cold December night, and we'll see what tomorrow will bring. Early that morning, David and Louis' shack burned to the ground. In a search among the ashes, there was nothing to be found. And the old priest went to church that morning to open up the door. He found David and Louis asleep there on the floor. "I forgot something," said Louis, with a bottle in his hand and a grin. "The door was open, so we came in." The old priests laughed and shook their hands and said, "What a great day." David turned to Louis and said, "What's he going on about anyway?" Singing, oh, holy night, and Noel, Noel, and hark the herald angels sing. It's a warm place to be on a cold December night, and we'll see what tomorrow will bring. Singing, oh, holy night, and Noel, Noel, and hark the herald angels sing. It's a warm place to be on a cold December night, and we'll see what tomorrow will bring.
I'm Jordan Basil, and I live in a community of Morristown, B.C., and for 4 years I've been asking to renovate my house because I don't have no running water, no bathroom, no kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, I'm staying in town here.
Okay.
With my good friend, and we grew up together.
Okay. Yeah.
So what I want is the band office to go ahead and finish my house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I could go back home.
Right.
All I got is firewood stove.
Okay.
Just to keep me warm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But now I got, that's why I'm here at the shelter. I eat.
Okay.
Eat every day.
You come to PLN to eat? Yeah. Yeah.
I only eat once a day. They said 4 years ago they were going to renovate my house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah.
Depending on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be by myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the hardest part, do you think, about being here instead of home?
My wife's not there.
I'm sorry.
She passed on.
I'm sorry.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
And all her clothes, all her pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stay at home. I go visit friends.
Mm-hmm.
Come to town.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I sleep in a bush.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put my pity on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay in a bush.
Mm-hmm.
Got blankets. Now our tent is torn down.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids went in there.
Ruined your tent.
Now I'm homeless.
Yeah.
But my good friend let me stay at his place.
Yeah.
Quite a while ago, we had that camp on Highway 16.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed there minus 30.
Wow.
Then over here on Broadway, we had a camp there with four tents.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there at minus 40.
Mm-hmm.
We had this Christian lady. She prayed for us. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
She'd bring us a load of wood every time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what kept us warm.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Lucy Gagnon. I'm the executive director of the Wissett First Nation, formerly Morristown Band. And I'm born and raised in Smithers, so I've been here all my life. And the area of homelessness that I was involved with was with the Smithers Action Group Association. And I was there for about 2.5 years. I had come in after they had started. And their primary goal was to build supportive housing for the homeless in Smithers. And we, we folded about a year and a half ago. It was 7 or 8 of us volunteers. We met for an hour once a week from 8 till 9 a.m. And we just felt like we weren't making headways with the conversation and the funders. And so, yeah, we did a lot in the time that I was there. We had received funds from CMHC to do a business plan a case for supportive housing. We did receive funds to do a homelessness count, and that was conducted in probably one of the coldest nights of, that there may have been more people because it was so cold that night. But yeah, so my knowledge of homelessness over the years is, I didn't see it as being that pronounced. Maybe it wasn't visible, a lot of couch surfers. But now, and I don't think it's as bad right now, but people were camping out in places like the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the stories that a young man told me about was the tent that they had slept 10 people. And wow. The one night they had 14. So four had to sleep outside around the fire. And, it's heartbreaking to hear these stories.
The next recording is completed by Valerie Law.
Last night, I slept in the trees. I got sleeping bags in the shelter. They give me blankets. I got a camp set up. I got a place I can hide it, keep it safe. I'm cold, it's winter. They give me some soup. They let me in here to get cleaned up, but not today. I didn't get here early enough. I'm still cold. It's a tough life living outside. My parents. Well, I never knew my real parents, but my foster parents. They raised me really good. Just when they were drinking, my uncle put liquor in my baby bottle, just so's I could quit crying, settle me down. That's how I became an alcoholic, I guess. But I made it to grade 10. Got kicked out of school in grade 8, but I upgraded, and I made my grade 10 equivalency. I almost graduated. But alcohol took over me, and I quit. I quit school, and I started working. I worked most of my life. But always alcohol took over me, took over my life. And today, same thing. Alcohol is gonna take my life, I guess. All of my family, my stepfamily, all died of alcoholism. Well, I'm fighting just to stay alive. I'm doing the best I can to try and help myself. Every time I say quit, it gets worse for me. Just to ease my pain, I have to drown it with alcohol. It's the way I cope, I guess. Drown my pain. If I get enough to drink, I forget everything. I'll wake up in the morning, though, and the same problem is still there in my head. All my losses. I'm 50 years old. I feel like I'm giving up on life. I keep trying to get my life together, but I've been drinking since I was 5 years old. Alcohol in my baby bottle. It's because I cried too much. Now I'm an alcoholic. I sleep outside. It's a very tough life to live outside. I have no choice. I sleep outside. It's a tough life.
My name is Lucy Gagnon. I'm the executive director of the Wissett First Nation, formerly Morristown Band. In general, housing in Smithers is very costly these days. And so homelessness, I don't believe, is just restricted to people with mental health and addictions. It's a bigger story. And so a lot of people I know are moving, having to move to places like Houston. I myself was interested in looking at purchasing something in Hazleton for my daughter. And there's hardly anything for sale there because people don't mind that 1 hour commute if they can't afford anything in Smithers. And Houston is a 45 minute commute. So it's, lots of challenges. Well, I think over time, let's just say one person is able to get a house, then many, many people will move in with that person until they get too unruly and start tearing apart the house. Then everyone has to be evicted. So then where do you put these people? Like, I talked to another individual, and there was about 10 of them living in a rental unit, and there was no privacy. You know, you're basically mattresses on the floor everywhere. And, you know, they were just happy to be in out of the elements and quite happy to live like that. So even myself, I had gone to an off-reserve housing strategy session in Terrace, and the facilitator asked me if there were any homeless people in Morristown, or now called Wissett. And I said, no, everyone has a roof over their heads. And he says, well, what about the couch surfers? I had never even heard the term couch surfers. So when he explained it, and I thought, you know, kind of the light went on, yeah, we do have homelessness in Morristown. But family are open to, you know, giving them shelter. Nobody has to sleep under the trees or, you know, out in the bush kind of thing. So, but out in Smithers, it's more pronounced because they kind of gather in areas, especially close to the shelter. Yeah, Beauville Square, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was very happy to hear that funding had come up and that this was a plan that was going to move forward. I attended that session at the town office, and I'm really pleased just because it will give people a place. You know, I looked at Red Deer's model, and they eliminated homelessness in their community. And the big thing there is housing first. You know, if you have a little space to call your own, you're less likely to, or your life could change for the better. Again, it's depending on your own self. But no, I'm happy that somebody is pushing it forward, and you know, Smithers Community Services will be the driver. And you know, we work closely with them as well when we were on SAGA. So, yeah, I'm happy for it. Yeah, I'm happy for the people because most of them are First Nations. And, yeah, I would get behind any program or, you know, proposal that would embedder our community. And, you know, these people are not going away. They're, you know, they're entrenched. They've tried to move people to Houston because there's a lot more housing there. It's not the same environment. So somehow they make their way back here, and whether they live under a tree or live in, you know, communal housing, they're happy to be here. And so we just need to embrace them and love them where they're at. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm Catherine Olmsted. I'm the Executive Director at Smithers Community Services. Homelessness is a really broad word. I think that different people want to live in different ways, mm-hmm. that might not be the same way as that you or I might want to live. And I think that, you know, to say we're going to eliminate homelessness, I think that's a pretty broad goal. I think this housing project will address some of the need in the community. I think there's quite a broad spectrum of housing need in the community. There's a lot of dialogue around the need for housing for people working with minimum wage. I mean, if you work at minimum wage, you're going to make, say, $1,400 a month. So the standard is 30% of that. What are you going to rent in Smithers for $500 a month, unless you want to share? So there is, I think, a broad spectrum of need for housing. This will address one of them. Is it going to mean that people won't gather at Bulva Square anymore? I doubt that. Does it mean that we're not going to have panhandling on Main Street anymore? I doubt that as well. But I think what it does do, and what we do know, is when people do have their own home, and the stress of wondering where you're going to be from day to day and what you're going to eat from day to day, when we take some of those stressors away, we do know it correlates with a reduction in people's consumption and antisocial behavior. So we do know that for a fact. And I think it's evident from the dialogue in the community over the last few weeks that there really is a strong desire for most of the community members to see people treated humanely and to really see the humanity in others and to help people get on their feet.
My name is Desiree Nizal. Being homeless and having an addiction, people do have feelings. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that the community is slowly realizing it. Like, there's still some people that are kind of jerks about it, but they just haven't had the fully understanding mm-hmm. of being homeless and wanting to find a place to call home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yes, some of them do have addictions, but that was their lifestyle growing up. Like, they could have past trauma or something going on in their life that nobody knows about but them. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can relate to them, not knowing exactly what they're going through, but can relate in a different situation of understanding mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. why they do what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun being homeless, but you got a lot of support.
Yeah.
Especially in this tiny little community.
Sam walks on the northern highway. Sam, he walks alone. Picking up bottles in the ditch that other people have thrown. They found out early that he moved and thought too slow. In a fast and furious world, he had no place to go. But Sam would walk on against the weather. And Sam would walk on against the pain. Where a stronger man would falter, Sam walked on. I gave him a ride last Wednesday. He was just too drunk and cold. He asked me in to show me his treasures of the road. Scattered junk on a three-legged table, leaning to the side. We talked a bit, I had to leave, and he thanked me for the ride. Now he drinks when he can't afford it, too much and too fast. He's
slowing down of late. How long can the walking man last? But Sam will walk on against the weather. Sam will walk on against the pain. But a stronger man will fall. Sam walks on. Sometimes I think he walks by me to put me in my place. Stop crying about my visa bills and the new lines on my face. Sam will walk on against the weather. Sam will walk on against the pain. Where a stronger man will falter. Sam walks on against the rain. And Sam walks on against the weather. Sam walks on against the pain. Where a stronger man will falter. Sam walks on and on again and on and on. And on and on. And on.
Thank you for tuning in to the 2018 Homeless Marathon special broadcast on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio.
You listened to local voices, local stories, musical interlude and song by Warren Dubs, bringing you homelessness, and songs by Mark Perry, entitled David and Louie, and Sam. Thank you again for everyone who shared their time and experiences with us here on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, British Columbia, broadcasting in 2018.